Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
And thanks to the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, well, he'll help you keep it running or at least give you some information before you bring your vehicle into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop to get repaired. You'll say, what the heck is wrong with this, Dan? Good morning, Dan. It's good to see you again. I think I saw you just a few days ago.
Yeah, good to see you.
At Lloyd's.
You haven't aged a bit.
Not a bit in a few days. It's so much fun getting over there on Grand Ave.
Yeah, it's fun to see you guys.
Yeah.
Tony got up early and came along. That was
good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you got, this is how you keep your vehicle in shape.
Yeah.
You got to keep it checked out.
Yeah. That's
but again, right. This is something we've talked about in this particular case, which is a vehicle that's not driven very much at all. I think it's coming down to almost twice a year. It's good oil,
yeah.
It's a good filter.
Right.
So make sure of that. But I thought, that's just twice a year. Is that okay?
Well, that's a good rhythm, actually. I used to say quarterly. I should see your vehicle quarterly, but it depends how much you drive.
True.
You drive very little, but I think twice a year is
maybe a minimum.
A pretty good rhythm. If you don't drive much, you know, not much is going to happen in those 6 months that I don't see you. And the things that we watch for are like, did anything change with the brakes? Have the calipers started to stick a little bit and causing the brakes to wear prematurely? Those types of things.
So you just don't, you as a technician, you just don't change the oil and filter.
Oh, no,
You have to check everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. That's, well.
And you did find something.
I have a good shop.
Yeah.
But that's what a good shop does.
Yeah.
And yes, it's the whole thing is part of a safety inspection and really the oil change is kind of beside the point.
Yeah, good way of putting
it. It's more about checking all the steering and suspension and belts and hoses and fluids, you know, leaks develop. You want to know those sorts of things. So that's what we're about, and that's why you need to bring it in from time to time and have it done. And you know, as I've mentioned many times in the past, tire rotation is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Most manufacturers recommend that you rotate your tires every time now. So or
every oil change. Okay.
Yeah. And that's how you're going to get the longest wear out of them.
Makes sense.
And, yeah.
We were talking off air about the CCO Radio's 95th anniversary, a birthday, I should say, this past Wednesday. You yourself have an anniversary. Is it today?
Yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah.
How many years in the business?
36 years ago.
That's when you bought your first.
Checked into my first service
station. Where was that?
Highland Park Mobile, it was called. It was on Ford Parkway and Snelling in St. Paul. And I happened to only live about four blocks from there. And at the time, I was deciding what to do with my life. And I asked the owner one time if he was ever interested in selling to let me know, because I would buy my gas there.
Oh, yeah.
And he one day said, you still interested? And I said, yeah. And so we put together a deal, and there I was off and running.
Life changes.
It's really funny. You don't, you know, when you do something like that, you don't have an option. I had three kids at home. I had to feed them. I could not fail. So it was, yeah, it was quite an adventure.
I should say.
Here we are. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
36 years later, I might make it, Denny.
I think so. There's hope.
Yeah, there's hope.
Well, as you remember last week, I promised our listeners we would start with some text messages we did not get to, and we can add to more because some folks are already calling in and texting. And if you do have a car care question for Dan, keep in mind he's only going to be here for about another 30 minutes. 651-989-9226. That's the same number for the text as for the phone call. So don't wait if you have a car care kind of question for Dan. Here's one. It says, good morning. If your brakes are worn and need replacement, might that cause your brake lights in the rear to stop working?
That will not cause your brake lights. For your brake lights in the rear, there's a switch, an electric switch that is actually mounted on the brake pedal itself. And if the lights in the rear are not working, that's certainly where you would start the diagnostic process, is to see if that switch is working, and then go on from there and see what the deal is. But no, the wear on your brake pads has nothing to do with the rear brake lights.
Lights at all. Okay. Texas says, good morning. 2006 Silverado, 53,500 actual miles. A rubbing noise while turning steering wheel either direction. Could this be lower intermediate steering shaft?
It certainly could. And in fact, any part of the steering system that is worn or has lost its grease, has dried up, and has gotten rusty, any of that can cause noise. And what kind of car did you say it was?
It was a Silverado, 2006.
Yeah. So I was gonna mention struts on a car, but a Silverado does not have front struts, so it would not be that. But any steering component that is worn out or rusty will make noise.
Okay. Another text, and we'll get to the phones, and we'll have to take a quick break, too. A texter says, I have a 94 Ranger. Twice now, it failed to start. Just cranks. If I turn the key off and then back on a couple of times, it starts. Doesn't happen often. Do you have any ideas?
Well, the fact that it cranks and cranks tells you that the starter's working and that the battery is good. It's none of that. But, you know, the first common thing relating to turning the key off and turning the key back on, what's normal about that is that every time you shut the key off and turn the key back on, the fuel pump primes for 2 or 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And the fuel pump actually runs and builds up pressure in the lines. And if that fuel pump is getting weak and losing pressure, or if the whole system is bleeding down because the check valve in the fuel pump is not holding pressure on the system while the car sits, then it takes a little while for that to get primed up again and for the vehicle to start. So, you know, the test procedure we would do is put a fuel pressure gauge on it and see what's happening with the fuel pressure when the vehicle is just cranking like that. And I think you'll find that the fuel pressure is low. And then they'll have to decide if it's the pump or what, but most likely it is.
Okay. Hang on, Dan. I want to alert Brent. You're going to hang in there on the phone. You're going to be first up here after this quick break. 651-989-9226. That's the phone number. That's the text number. So use it early rather than late, because Dan will be here till about 7:45. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where, Dan?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, as you know well. You were there.
Yeah.
982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Give us a call. Our phone number is 651-228-1316. And I forget to mention, but because I'm not techy enough, but you can find us on Facebook, too, I'm sure.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And friend us on Facebook, and then you'll get lots of good information.
I was going to say, there, you put out a lot of good information.
We do. Every couple times a week, we'll send something out.
Yeah, it's so, good info.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us. Speaking of phone number, Brent has called in from Stacy with a question. Brent, you're on with Dan.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. My question concerns a catalytic converter. I know it needs replacing because I've had the computer test done on it, and yet I've heard differing, conflicting opinions. One guy, and these are experienced mechanics, say, no, there's no hurry. You won't do any damage. You're just hurting the atmosphere. Other guy says, well, I don't know. Your engine could start going bad if you don't get it fixed pretty quick. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, it won't hurt the engine.
Okay.
But what will happen is if the catalytic converter continues to fail and deteriorate, and that happens, it can actually turn into big chunks of metal that break loose on the inside of the converter. And if they turn sideways, then the air will no longer flow through the honeycomb, and the exhaust can actually get plugged. And if that's the case, then, of course, if you can't let air out of the engine won't run. So that's one thing that can cause it to fail. And don't minimize the atmosphere. That's also a big deal. I mean, that's why we put catalytic converters on, because there's so many cars on the road, and you do want to do your best that you can to keep our environment clean.
Yep.
So that's a good reason to do it, too.
All right, Brent, thanks for hanging on. Let's talk to John, who's calling from St. Paul this morning. John, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. A Ford F-150 pickup. Sometimes after I start the vehicle up, and maybe the first 5 to 10 minutes, my oil pressure gauge doesn't register and the red light is on. And sometimes usually it goes away. Is that an indication of a bad oil pressure sending unit?
Well, I hope it's the indication of a bad oil pressure sending unit. What you don't want to have happen is that either the fuel pump is failing or the engine is getting so loose that it's having trouble building up oil pressure. And I think the first answer is probably correct. It's probably the sensor that is acting up. If you're not hearing any noise, you know, any rattling or anything like that, then, it's probably not the engine itself. But what you should do is take it into the shop. Your shop will put a mechanical gauge on it and test it a few different times under different circumstances and be sure that the fuel pressure is indeed there, and it probably is. And then in that case, if the oil pressure is fine, they'll just screw a new switch into it, which is no big deal at all, and you'll be in business.
All right. Thank you, John. Here's a text. Says, I have a 2013 Dodge Ram. Since I bought it 2 years ago, have had issues with GPS. Driving yesterday, the compass said I was going southwest, and I was going straight north. The map did not even have me on a road. The computer has been updated, but still have issues.
Yeah. You know, there's if you look in your owner's manual, you'll find that there's a programming of the compass, and what it'll have you do is sometimes you have to push a button and put it into that mode, and then they'll have you go to a big parking lot and drive around in circles.
I remember doing that one time.
And the compass will recalibrate itself. So look in your owner's manual and see what the procedure is for recalibrating the compass and see if that takes care of it. If not, then I'm not sure what module the compass is actually stored in, but that's probably what's going on, is you'll have to have that replaced.
And otherwise, it's kind of good information to check the owner's manual once in a while.
Yeah, there's good information in the owner's. Yeah. You know, we use it. I use it. A car will come in with the tire light on, and we'll put air in the tires and take care of the problem. But then people will say, well, will my light go off? And every car is different. And so I'll often look in the owner's manual to see if there's a reset procedure or if you just have to drive down the road and the light will go off.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, hang on. We'll take a quick break here. We have another 14 minutes or so to answer your questions. So call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, we have some text messages both from last week and today as well we'll pick up on before Jack Farrell comes in here. But you and I talk from time to time. You have a son who is also in your line of work.
Hey, I do.
Not here.
Well, he was here visiting last night. He is in town this weekend, actually.
That's Ben.
Out celebrating with me. But Ben is in town, and he's got three shops, actually.
Well, he does,
now
three of them.
In the Denver and Boulder area. And he had some of his crew here home. There's a class in town that they all went to.
I see.
But I know he's running with it out in Denver and doing great, which is fun because we get there a lot. We get to Denver a lot.
You do. I know you had
that. Got three little girls that we have to see, so there's good reason to go there.
If you need an excuse.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, well, good going, Ben.
Yeah.
I remember when he first started off out there.
Yes, yeah. He's doing
good
great.
Good deal. Good going, Ben. Well, we're going to put you back to work, Dan. Text-wise, we got a bunch of them. Is it too early in the season, texter wants to know, to put winter tires on? If so, what are the ideal temps for winter tires?
Well, you just want it cool. Maybe I'd wait till after this next little warm spell that we're having this week. But once the road temperatures cool off, and it happens quickly here in Minnesota, then you're fine to put your winter tires on. I don't think there's a rush to do it. We're not going to get a big pile of snow that's going to stick around right now. But once the road temperature cools down and the air temperature would be, say, in the 50s, then I think that the winter tires will be just fine. What you don't want to do is put winter tires on when the road is in and the tires get too hot, because it's a very soft rubber material and it burns off very quickly when they get hot.
And I suppose they're not cheap either.
Well, they're not cheap.
Tires, period.
They're typical. They're typical as any tires, but you don't want them on there when it's too hot.
I was noticing, we joke about it. I'm always looking at the PSI and my tire pressure just to make sure they're okay, you know.
Yeah.
I think the cold temp is around 33 PSI. Right. And I noticed this time of year, these particular tires, like some others, are dropping.
Yeah.
I mean, even after I've driven, I park it, and then the next morning,
it's
boom.
Low. Yeah.
Yeah.
You and every other person in town.
Are you seeing a lot of that?
It's 100% to do with the temperature over the summer. You know, any tire, you think they don't leak, but any tire will lose an immeasurable little bit of air just in time. And it's just the way that it is. And so when and it's fine when everything's warm and you're cruising down the highway. But as soon as the temperatures start to cool off and you start your vehicle in the morning, and it'll happen again when the temperatures get below zero, then all of the tire lights in town come on because the tires are a little bit low and we have to fill them up to turn the lights back off. So very common. And don't worry about it. If your tire light comes on, you don't have to rush right to the shop. Usually it's just temperature related, and you put 3 or 4 PSI into each of the 4 tires and it shuts the light off and you're just fine.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of now, this weather with all this heavy rain, you're a big fan of making sure you've got good wiper blades.
Good wiper blades is a big deal. And I noticed it this morning coming in, I've not driven my vehicle in the rain very much. And I noticed that, especially as the days are getting shorter and the glare from other headlights against my windshield that's not clean because my wiper blades aren't doing a good, makes it hard for an old man to see. And so that, especially for those of us that are a little bit older and we need that extra light, the clean windshield and good wiper blades is really a safety concern.
Absolutely.
So take care of that.
We're talking about a GPS navigation update with an earlier texter. And Sandy in Plymouth wants to know, is there a way to update the GPS system in a 2015 Hyundai Azera? And I thought,
look in your owner's manual. That's true. And for sure, any vehicle, if you do just what I said, go to a big parking lot and run it around in a circle, if it's capable of being recalibrated, that usually will do it. So that's what I would try, whether it says it in your owner's manual or not.
Okay, very good. Let's grab another text. Hello, I have a 2015 Ford Explorer, 25,000 miles. Problem with the system saying that the transmission is not in park when it actually is in park. I have to play with the trigger on the shifter to get it to understand it is actually in park. Is there any adjustment available?
Well, it's probably not adjustment. There's two things that it could be: is the switch on the transmission that tells you the position, and if that switch is failing, then that's what's going on. Or oftentimes the cable that goes between the shift lever to the transmission, if that cable starts to get corroded, and sometimes it's actually not in park, and so. That's the other thing. So I would for sure bring that in and have it checked, because it could be a safety concern. You might think you're in park and you're not. And if you're not, the vehicle will roll away, and you don't want that to happen.
Not good.
Yeah.
Here's another one, Dan. 2005 Chevy Colorado heater fan switch only will work when on high position. It had been replaced 3 times and will work for a few weeks, but then will stop working on all settings except high. What's causing that?
Well, it's probably the blower motor resistor. That's a common failure. We replace them every day at Lloyd's Automotive. Or it's the switch on the dash. But first thing you would want to have checked is the blower motor resistor. And the reason that when it's on high, it doesn't go through the resistor. It's getting full voltage from the battery. When you're using it on any of the other speeds, it is the voltage is routed through the resistor to turn down the voltage and slow the speed of the fan down. And when it's running through that resistor, it sounds like it's not working.
Oh, all right. Here's another one. I have a 2016 Buick fuel door locks with the car. I think the cover was slammed shut after the car was locked. Now I hear the mechanism move, but it won't open. Do I dare pry on it, or do I need to take it to the shop?
You know, well, I would certainly try prying on it. I have in my toolbox a little plastic wedge for just that purpose, so I don't damage the paint. So that's the one thing you want to be careful of. If you're going to stick a screwdriver in there, wrap it with tape or cover it with a rag or something. But yes, I would absolutely try gently prying on it. And you'll need two people, because you'll need one person to release it while the other person pries on it. But don't pry very hard. And if it doesn't open easily with that, then take it in and get a professional to help you. I can always get it open. And then once you get it open, you might have to adjust something just a little bit, or like bend the tab just a little bit, or put a little lubricant on there so that it works better the next time.
Very good. I think we have time for one more. Texas says, putting pressure on the clutch pedal causes it to slowly sink to the floorboard. Bled the lines, no change. Help.
Yeah, it's a hydraulic clutch, and the fluid is actually bypassing. One of the seals has failed, and the fluid is supposed to be pushing the clutch slave cylinder against the clutch and making it work. And if the fluid's not being held in place like it's supposed to be, then it'll leak, bleed by, and cause the clutch not to work too.
All right, so,
easy fix. We work on those all the time too.
Well, speaking of work, we're going to let you get back to it.
Sounds good.
How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Give us a call, 651-228-1316. Or like I said, you can sure find us on Facebook and keep track of what's going on over there.
We'll do that very thing. Dan,
Sounds good.
See you. Thanks very much. We'll have another show next week, more car care here on News Talk 830 WCCU.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.